My message to you now. My scripture reading is in Jeremiah chapter 30 and starting at the 22nd verse. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold the tempest of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It will burst on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done for us and that the love that you have for us and the mercy and the forgiveness. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and let them be heard and understood and helped as you would have. And in your Son, Yeshua, through him we ask, and amen. And my text is 1 John 4 and 8. And let's look at that. 1 John 4 and 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I think all of us can relate to that today. And we know that within our walk with God, that we find the truest of happiness in our life. We find that life is more worth living. And we find self-worth within our walk with Him and in our service to Him and our neighbors. My message title to you today is Eternal Love. And what do we mean by that? Eternal love. I think every one of us can say, boy, that's surely the kind of love that I want. I want a genuine, sincere love. I want a love that's not just here today and gone tomorrow, but I want an everlasting love. I want one that's not pretentious. And you know, that's exactly the kind of love that the Word of God says that the Father has to all of His children. To each one of us, He has that eternal love. And you know, when we think about the spiritual giants that we read about in God's Word, we know that they all trusted in God. They all looked to Him for their deliverance and their help. And they all believed what they read in His Word. They all believed that what God had said, they believed He meant it. And what He had promised, they believed He was going to bring forth. He would do what He said He was going to do. He would be the kind of loving Father that He lets us know that He would be. Abraham was one of those spiritual giants. And Abraham trusted God. He believed when God spoke to him and said, I have a land for you. I have a place I want you to go. I want you to get up and get out from your home, from all your familiar surroundings. I want you to leave and go to the place that I have prepared for you to go. And you know, God spoke many other precious promises to many of the ones that we read about in His Word. And all that He spoke and all that He said, He did. And that's the kind of person we want to put our trust and our faith and our love in. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and he would do. You remember when God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son? Boy, to sacrifice the son that you had waited so long for. And yet, Abraham was willing to do that. And Isaac was willing to be that kind of obedient child to his father. But that's the kind of person that Abraham was. In the statement that we read in Romans 4 and 20 by the Apostle Paul, we find an explanation of Abraham's greatness and a possible explanation for the spiritual weakness of so many of God's children today. We lack a faith. We lack a faith that can grasp the reality and believe for face value the words that God speaks to us and grab onto those words and that faith and then go on. Grab onto the words, the faith, then act upon those. What he promised, he will do. The Apostle Peter speaks of the exceeding great and precious promises of God by which we are to be partakers of the divine nature. You've heard that expression before, the divine nature. You know what that is? It means what you're not able to do. What you're not able to be as human beings. We come so short of what we know we should be and we should do. And it's our humanness coming out. Our lack of faith, perhaps. Being too much like ourselves and not enough like God. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, starting at the fourth verse. 2 Peter 1 and the fourth verse. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence. How much morality do we have in the world today? How much morality has been lost in the world today in modern times over the last 50 years. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on with that. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Do you see these qualities that he's telling us that we should have? These things that we should do after we accept his precious gift of salvation, his sacrifice of his only begotten Son, shedding his blood on that cross? You will never stumble if you do these things and practice these things. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise there? If you do these things and you know and have and do and act upon these qualities that God has for his children, then you will be supplied with everything you need, including an eternal home, along with his eternal love that he has for you until you get to that eternal home. God loves you. He wants the very best for you. He wants you to have and keep these qualities that he makes so abundantly clear and to remind yourself of as often as you need, that you need to be that kind of person, that you need to die out to the things that's so much like a human and so distant from God-like qualities. God wants his children to be more like him. We need to love God. We need to be obedient to him, faithful to him, true to him, true to our faith, and for the God from which our faith came. Accept his promises and believe that he is able to perform that which he promised. Did he not promise you health and wealth and blessings and healing? Did he not promise you all of those things if you would but just be a true and faithful child of his? He has those things for you. And those are promises that we can count on. And we need that kind of faith. And spiritual success is yours with that kind of reaction. The Bible is a record of God's faithfulness. And let's speak of some of these qualities. Let's speak of the eternal love that my message is entitled to you. And first of all, let's focus our attention on the divine promise of an eternal, undying love. If it's eternal, it lasts forever, right? It's undying. And that's what we want. One that is consistent. One that's always going to be there for us. One that doesn't change, but is true. And that is the kind of love that God has for each one of us. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, saying, let's look at Jeremiah 31 and 3. Sometimes it's better for you to look and read along with me, and it stays within your heart and your mind somewhat better. Jeremiah 31 and 3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. God's love toward us is what drew us to Him. And how did it draw us to Him? Through His love, but through His Holy Spirit. That's why He has a free gift along with salvation and others, eternal home. He has eternal loving kindness and drawing us with that love. So we need to realize that. We need to hold on to it. God spoke to Isaiah. Through Isaiah to the children of Israel. And he said, and let's look at Isaiah 49 and 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. And thus, the people of Israel were strengthened and sustained in days of adversity and hardship. Did you know that this is the season of deliverance? And every year, it comes around to this time of the year, Passover time, unleavened bread time. And every year, it's the same. Every year, this is deliverance season. And as long as time goes on, it will be. Because God made it such. He delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery at this time of the year. And He instituted festivals for us to remember for their varied purposes. And unleavened bread, the purpose is for you to realize that as human beings, you sin. You have sinned. You probably are going to sin again. God wants you to know that. And He wants you to know that during that 7 days of unleavened bread, He wants you to be extra aware of the fact that we need to constantly, as His children, be aware that He wants us to constantly try to get sin out of our life. That's what unleavened bread represents. Get leaven out of your houses because it represents sin in your life. And God wants you to focus on the fact that you will always need to be aware of this and to be trying to remove sin from your life. That's unleavened bread. And it's important enough to God that He set aside 7 days for you to have that awareness, for it to be specially emphasized at that time. Now, surely that don't cover the whole year, but it at least tells you it's how important it is to the Lord that He emphasizes that. And you know, it's the same exact thing as to Why does he have all of these days during the year that he wants you to remember him for certain special reasons, known as the festival days or the feast days, as the King James Version would word it, the feast, meaning festivals, meaning appointed days of the Lord, as you would read in Leviticus 23, tells you the appointed days of the Lord, your appointments with the Father God. It's important enough that he made appointments ahead every year for you to remember to come to him for the various events, for the various reasons, and to remember those reasons because it's important to him. He wants you to communicate with him. Why else would he appoint one day in every week as holy and sanctified or set apart from all the others for you to remember to come and worship him? It's important to him. The Sabbaths are all important to him. The days of festivity or feast, or however you want to express it, appointed days, are all very important to him. He wants communication. He don't want you to go lax or lazy or give up or whatever. He wants that closeness. That's how much he loves you. He wants you to hold on to him to the end of your life. Till you draw your final breath. He wants you to be aware of that love that he has for you and the need to hold on to his hand to that very last breath. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he wants you to be part of his family, to be a child of his. The promise of love. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans Christians, and you know this is one of my favorite places in all the Bible, and I started paying attention and reading and rereading and getting more and more and more every time I read and reread it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can anything, anybody, anything, anywhere, anytime, separate you from God's love, from Christ's love? And the answer is no. The only one that can do that is you. You are the only one. God always is going to have his arms outstretched toward you or any one other of his children who drifts away and needs to come back. You need to envision the loving Father standing, waiting for you with his arms outstretched, waiting to receive you back to him. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He replied, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And listen. Keep reminding yourself of this if you ever start to have any doubts. For I am persuaded that neither death, and that's a biggie to me, death can't separate you from the love of Christ. That love is still there. You're still in his care. Death won't change a thing. And that's why Christ said to you, death is not the end. Death is not the end for God's children. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God. Is that not eternal love? Eternal love. Love that is undying. Love that doesn't change. Love is the same today as it is tomorrow, as it is next week, next month, next year. Paul rejoiced in the consciousness of the ever-presence of God and His eternal love for each one of us. You know, in today there's a gross lack of genuine love, more so than ever before, more so than ever in my lifetime. We urgently need the message that there is one that has eternal love for us, personally and individually, an undying eternal love. There's so much hatred in the world today, both at home and abroad. So many things that would discourage us, perhaps try to influence us to go in the wrong direction. Things that might would discourage us from living by the principles of love. We need to be constantly aware of God's great love for us. And it can't help but strengthen our faith and cause us to rely on His promises and focus on them and challenge us to do what He wants us to do and to be and act like He wants us to act. Secondly, the presence of love. In 1 John 4:10, we read, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the," and then it's a hard word to say, "propitiation," that's how I say it. But you know, I've come to believe that He's wanting us to know that His Son, living the life that He lived and dying the kind of death that He died for our sins, was the only long-term answer to mankind, to humankind's natural tendency to sin. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the only long-term answer for humankind's sins." God promised love had been revealed most dramatically in the death of Christ on the cross. This season of the year, so many years ago, 2,000 plus years ago, Yeshua died on the cross for us. And no limits has ever been placed on the divine love that both Yahweh and Yeshua has always had for us. I'd like for us to look at Ephesians 3 and starting at verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And let's go on, 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do, this is a wonderful verse here, and it'd be good to remember. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. For He who is able to do far more than we ask or think, according to the faith that is working within us. That's how much of this we're speaking of. It somewhat depends on us. Surely it's God's love for us, yes, and Yeshua's love. But it's also according to our faith, the power that works within us. How do you get more power? How do you get more faith? By putting more of God in your mind and in your heart through His Word. The love of God is as broad as the wide world. It's wide without being shallow. It reaches out to include all colors, all countries, all cultures. The love of God reaches to the farthest point in its quest to redeem and forgive. It reaches back into the past and it reaches out into the future. God has always loved us and He will always continue to love us. His love will not fail. His love will not end. His love will last. It's an undying love. The love of God reaches down to find and bless us in our deepest need. And sin cannot cover a person to the extent that their sins cannot be erased by pleading the blood of Jesus Christ to the Heavenly Father. He will honor that sacrifice. It was His plan. The love of God has brought the Son of God down from on high to meet our deepest need. Whatever that is, He has the answer. He will deliver. This is deliverance season. And lastly, the purpose of love. The purpose of love is because God knows, He made us. He knows how we are. He knows what our tendencies are, our weaknesses are. He knows us. His Son was sent to this earth to live amongst us and to be tempted with the things that we're tempted with and see the things that we see. But we know there's one big difference, and that is that His Son was divine and His Son was able to live this kind of life as a human, but live it sinlessly. The only perfect person that has ever walked this earth. But He was. The assurance of God's eternal, unchanging love can sustain us in times of difficulty or tragedy, God in love will be at work in everything in our life. Everything that happens to us, everything that comes to us, God will be at work to bring everything about for our greatest good. The constant awareness of this eternal love that God has for us should make us leap for joy. Because it's constantly present. It's not going to go away. It's not going to die. It's not going to change. It's going to be there for us. God is going to be there with us through everything that we have to go through. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's not going to be some bad stuff. It will. But it will be there. He will be there for us to call on at that time. And He will help us. It will be easier with Him to face and to go through everything that comes to us. Have you ever thought about the prodigal son? The parable of the waiting father? You know, God gave us that event recorded to where we could relate that waiting father to He Himself, the eternal Father, the one who has the eternal love for us, the God and Father of our loving Savior, Yeshua. He's the waiting Father. He was the prodigal son, Father. He was the one who was waiting with outstretched arms as the prodigal son finally came to his senses and decided to go back home. And when he went back, his father was waiting with outstretched arms to welcome him. Wanted to put the best clothing available back on him. Nice, shiny rings on his fingers. Anything that would restore him back to what he was and to the place that he had before with his father. Isn't that the loving father or mother that you would want? Can you think of a more loving Father, God, Creator, than one that reacts like that? One that would welcome you back after you, in essence, rejected Him and went on your way to what you thought was going to be greener pastures and better times? The loving Father loves you with more love than you could ever imagine. Even more love than you, the very best of an earthly mother or father. That's the kind of person, that's the kind of heavenly Father that we all have. God loves us. God is looking at us and our lives. He's waiting for some, and He will rejoice as we communicate with Him and as the ones that have a need to return to Him, He rejoices and He's waiting for them. So I admonish everyone, if you're away from the Father, He wants you back. He's looking for you. And you need to come to the waiting Father whose love for you is eternal. If you would you stand with me? I'd like to wish everyone a great and happy Shabbat Shalom. And may the Heavenly Father bless you this day and every day in His love as you love and hold on to His hands, be an overflowing love to you. We would like to read the blessing together. Let's read this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful words. Bow.